We will not be silenced. I'm Pam Huso, Fox News. President Trump tweeting that last night from his official White House Twitter account not long after his personal account was banned.
Twitter's permanently banned the account at Real Donald Trump, saying there's a risk of further incitement of violence. The company referring to tweets from the president ahead of the siege of Capitol Hill this week. The company's also warning they're seeing reports of plans for armed protests, including another attack on the U.S. Capitol coming up January 17th.
Fox's Jill Nato, a spokesman for the social media giant, says the president's official account has also been permanently suspended. Articles of impeachment could be introduced in the House on Monday with a vote as soon as Wednesday. Democrats accused the president of making statements that encouraged lawless action at the Capitol, but some Republicans argue impeachment will do more harm to the country.
I don't think anybody can look and say an impeachment of this president is the thing that's going to help unite and bring our country together. I think that's where our focus needs to be, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that regard.
Congressman Steve Scalise. In a memo obtained by Fox News, the Senate's Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, says since the chamber is in recess, articles of impeachment wouldn't be received until the day before Joe Biden's inauguration, unless all 100 senators vote to act sooner. The president-elect says impeaching President Trump isn't what he's concentrating on.
I'm focused on the urgency of three immediate concerns. One, the virus. Getting under control.
Joe Biden says vaccine distribution is a priority, calling the rollout by the Trump administration sad. America's listening to Fox News.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Start the new year with a new language. Get up to 60% off now at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Amazon Alexa.
If the U.S. Capitol can be breached, then just how vulnerable are state capitals across the country? The vast majority of state legislatures are scheduled to convene this month, and when they do, the presence of police could be bolstered. Authorities in Washington state say law enforcement numbers will be increased when the legislature meets Monday. Same goes in neighboring Idaho. In some states like Colorado and Minnesota, extra security measures were taken before this week's attack on the U.S. Capitol. Both of those state houses are surrounded by fencing. President Trump has company when it comes to his ban from Twitter. Some high-profile supporters have also lost the communication tool.
Twitter permanently suspends the pages of former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn, pro-Trump lawyer Sidney Powell, and former Aitkun Administrator Ron Watkins for violating its coordinated harmful activity policy, sharing content linked to the QAnon conspiracy theory. A rep says, "We've been clear that we will take strong enforcement action on behavior that has the potential to lead to offline harm. And given the renewed potential for violence surrounding this type of behavior in the coming days, we will permanently suspend accounts that are solely dedicated to sharing QAnon content." Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
A stark warning from the mayor of London, who says hospital beds will run out in the coming weeks if the spread of the coronavirus doesn't slow down.
London Mayor Sadiq Khan says COVID-19 is now out of control in London. Khan declared the city to be in a major incident due to the presence of the disease here. London Mayor says it is worse than the earlier peak of coronavirus this past spring. The hospital system is on the verge of being swamped. It's estimated as many as 1 in 20 Londoners now have COVID-19.
Fox says Greg Palcott, this week England went into its third national lockdown. Pam Huso, Fox News.
In Virginia, watch out for an accident now in Loudoun County on westbound 50 at the Loudoun County Parkway, and that is blocking the right lane. In the district, a portion of S Street is closed in northwest in both directions between 1st Street and North Capitol Street due to fire department activity. And also in the district, there is some construction going on this weekend on South Capitol Street southbound between the South Capitol Street Bridge and the Suitland Parkway with single lane closures with periodic temporary 15-minute full closures, so be aware of that. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Looking at mostly sunny skies this afternoon. However, those breezes are really going to kick up. We're talking about gusts 25 miles per hour, so that's going to keep the wind chill factors into the 30s despite all the sunshine. Tomorrow, nice day with a high temperature of 47. I'm ABC 7 Chief Meteorologist Bill Kelly from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time. When you're just waking up.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute.
All operators file for bankruptcy.
On your way to lunch.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring.
Right after you tuck in the kids at night.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
Or upward swings in indices in Europe.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Hi, Amy.
Oh, Jill, help. My whole family is coming to my house. How can I keep them entertained?
Well, we have gig speed internet from Xfinity, so we get fast, reliable speed on all our devices.
Interesting. Go on.
Yeah, we stream movies in the living room while we've got video games set up in the basement and music streaming on the patio.
That sounds perfect. We'll be over around 6.
Excuse me?
Oh, and just an FYI, Grandma is keto now, so just be mindful.
Keep your whole family connected with crowd-pleasing gig speed internet. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity Internet TV and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 years with a 2-year agreement. And get a $100 prepaid card. Plus, get a free upgrade to up to 1 gigabit per second for a year. That's a savings of $360. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Ends 3-8-20. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After term or speed promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during the lowest prices of the season, the Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 Smart Bed is only $899. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show, Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. Tragic events at the Capitol this week. We'll talk in detail this morning with KT McFarland, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Jim Trustee, Jennifer Harper. But first off, developments in the news since last night. President Trump has been banned on Twitter. Of course, President Trump with 80-plus million followers on Twitter. And that announcement was made, and a lot of speculation as to what may come next for President Trump. What will his outlet be to communicate with his followers? Twitter announced that account suspension on Friday, and they locked him out of his account earlier in the week, as you know. And this is the blog post from Twitter. This is what they had to say. After close review of recent tweets from @RealDonaldTrump's account, and the context around them, specifically how they are being received and interpreted on and off Twitter, we have permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further incitement of violence. That from the Twitter blog. Also happening maybe since dinner when you shut things off maybe for dinner last night. Well, Parler is a well-known conservative social media platform, and Google has now removed the Parler app from its app store. So further censorship for conservative voices. Also in the news, the reports are that the Democrats intend to file an article of impeachment on Monday. It would be one article. Incitement of insurrection is the basis for that article of impeachment. Republicans have come forward, and Lindsey Graham was on Fox last night, and here's what he had to say about the notion of another impeachment of President Trump.
I know people are frustrated. I wanted President Trump to win so badly. I thought he was a consequential president. I think he made the world safer and more prosperous. I'm a constitutional conservative. I believe in federalism, even when I don't like the outcome. There's a process under our Constitution. I followed it the best I knew how. I stand by my vote. But now, tonight, I'm calling on President-elect Biden to pick up the phone and call Nancy Pelosi and the squad to end the second impeachment. President Trump gave a statement last night that was helpful. It hit the mark. He wants to move on to a peaceful transfer of power. He wants this to end. I've been with him most of the day. He's going to focus on his agenda, his successes for the American people in the next few days. But Joe Biden said it's up to Congress regarding impeachment. No, President-elect Biden, it's up to you. Pick up the phone, call Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the squad and tell them, stand down. This will destroy the country even further. You have the power to do that. The question is, do you have the courage to do it?
And that in response to Nancy Pelosi's call for impeachment. Here's what the Speaker of the House said.
In calling for this seditious act, the President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the Vice President to remove this President by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment. If the Vice President and the Cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment.
Matt Gaetz also appeared on Fox last night. He was on the 11 o'clock news on Fox. Here's what he had to say about the notion of impeachment.
It seems that impeachment is an itch that doesn't just go away with one scratch for House Democrats. This latest effort, I think, is less about the actions of the president and more about the very fragile constituency that the Democrats have stitched together. Joe Biden Democrats don't look a lot like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Democrats, and the one thing that's unified them is opposition to President Trump. So they think the best thing to launch their 2022 hopes is to begin with an impeachment strategy. I know this. President Trump will not resign. This impeachment is divisive, and it is unwarranted. President Trump wanted these protests to be peaceful and patriotic. He said so, but they were neither. And the people responsible for breaching the Capitol are precisely the people that engaged in that behavior. I hope they do face consequences, and I will be there, along with the president's supporters like Jim Jordan, to fight against an impeachment that will not advance the country, but that exists just to advance the politics of Democrats.
The rhetoric is ratcheted up. President-elect Biden making some very divisive comments this week when you would have expected, hopefully, that he would appeal for unity, which he had promised to do. We'll get to those comments in a minute. President Trump came out on Thursday, made a statement. It didn't get picked up very many places. It did run on Twitter, but again, his account has been suspended, so you may not have heard the statement from President Trump where he addressed the violence at the Capitol, and this is a portion of what he had to say.
The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election, and emotions are high. But now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation.
President Trump, as he addressed the violence at the Capitol. We're at 6:15. We have a lot more to cover on the Saturday morning update. We'll get into those comments from President-elect Joe Biden next. But first, Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Virginia and South Riding, the accident on westbound 50 at the Loudoun County Parkway has just been cleared from the right lane. Everything has been reopened. In Northwest, a portion of S Street is closed in both directions between First Street and North Capitol Street due to fire department activity. And there is a long-term work zone, a new one, setting up on the GW Parkway northbound. You'll find the right lane closed between Washington Boulevard and the Memorial Bridge. So do be aware of that, not causing any delays at this time. Also this weekend, there is construction on South Capitol Street southbound between the Douglas Bridge and the Suitland Parkway. Watch out for single lane closures. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Looking at mostly sunny skies this afternoon. However, those breezes are really going to kick up. We're talking about gusts 25 miles per hour, so that's going to keep the wind chill factors into the 30s despite all the sunshine. Tomorrow, nice day with a high temperature of 47. I'm ABC7 Chief Meteorologist Bill Kelly from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
6:17 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update, and we're talking about the tone that has been coming from the president-elect Joe Biden. And so much of his campaign was based around unity, unifying the country, a return to normalcy. But some of the comments that he's made in statements at his press conferences this week have been anything but that. And to me, very disappointing. A montage here of just some of those comments to give you a sense, if you haven't been closely following the news, some of the comments from President-elect Biden this week.
He's one of the most incompetent presidents in the history of the United States of America. And so the idea that I think he shouldn't be out of office yesterday is not the issue. He indicated he wasn't going to show up at the inauguration. One of the few things he and I have ever agreed on. He's been an embarrassment to the country, embarrassed us around the world, not worthy to hold that office. If we were 6 months out, we should be moving everything to get him out of office, impeaching him again, trying to invoke the 25th Amendment, whatever it took to get him out of office.
Well, I don't know how that struck you. I know how it struck me. Here's how it struck Ken Starr.
I was surprised, and to be honest, I was disappointed. Those of us who try to study history and the history of this wonderful country, of this sweet land of liberty, know that there are times for leaders to rise up and to appeal to those higher angels of our being. Vice President Biden didn't do that. In fact, to the contrary, he was adding fuel to the fire, including stoking some old embers that long ago should have been died out, including Russian interference.
The words of Ken Starr. And we have a lot to cover, obviously, on the Saturday morning update. We're going to be talking with Jim Trusty next. We're going to talk with Jim this half hour about the appointment to be made of Merrick Garland to become Attorney General. What does that mean for the Department of Justice? What does that mean for the tone moving forward? We're going to talk with Jim about that. We'll have Jennifer Harper in, and she's got some of the attitudes about how the American people are feeling about the need for bipartisanship. We're going to revisit the legal front with Jim Trusty once again, right out of the 6:45 traffic and weather. We'll talk with Jim. And in that one, we'll get into the notion of impeachment and what's behind that, the legal aspects of impeachment, what that means. Just among the things we'll talk about with Jim, and including the next steps in the investigation, the prosecutions of those who were rioting at the Capitol, how that will be handled. So many of those rioters from out of state that were in the Capitol and they are being apprehended around the country. What's next for them? We'll talk about that legal process with Jim Trusty. John Gizzi is coming up right after the 7 o'clock news this morning. And obviously we'll get his reaction to the events of the week at the Capitol. Also, the Georgia race, which was completely overshadowed by those events at the Capitol on Wednesday, That decision made Tuesday night by the voters in Georgia, which will turn the U.S. Senate 50-50 between Democrats and the Republicans. And, of course, the incoming Vice President Kamala Harris would be the one to break any ties in Senate votes. We'll talk with John about those implications. Also, we've got Cheryl Atkinson coming up, and she's doing a story tomorrow on Full Measure, her program, about information and about the social media platforms, what's behind them, what's behind the fact checkers. So an interesting conversation we'll have this morning with Cheryl Atkinson. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us later on this morning, and Tony was actually at the rally, at the Ellipse, and he can tell us firsthand the tone, the attitude, what was going on there, what the president said, and we'll get a read from Tony on that. And KT McFarland will round out the program later on in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll have KT put it all in perspective for us. And I want to ask KT, moving forward, what do we look at in terms of a more positive message for all of us in the country? And we'll talk with KT again in the 7 o'clock hour. So lots to cover this morning on the Saturday Morning Update. We're at 6:21.
This is Governor Larry Hogan. We've been fighting COVID-19 for what seems like forever, but we need to keep on. All of us. Keep on wearing our masks. Keep on watching our distance. Keep on washing our hands. A vaccine is on the way. Now more than ever, we must keep on doing whatever it takes to slow the spread of COVID-19. In other words, wear the damn mask. Keep on, Maryland.
Brought to you by the Maryland Department of Health.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Saturday at 5 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation Saturday at 5 on WMAL.
New Year's resolutions. We all make them. We all break them. That's why your small business needs more than resolutions. It needs solutions. And you can get them with Comcast Business. Whether you want to work more efficiently with fast, reliable internet and advanced Wi-Fi, make your business safer with powerful cybersecurity solutions, or stay productive with 24/7 support, we've got the solutions you need for your business to get there. So make this year's resolution better solutions. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. And for a limited time, ask how to upgrade to get a $500 prepaid card. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Prepaid card offer ends 1/24/21. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business internet and one voice mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra. Subject to change.
Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We're joined by Jim Trustee. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Normally, we talk to Jim around 6:45, and we will, but we've got so much to talk about on the legal front this morning, I wanted to get him in a little bit early. So, Jim, thank you for being with us.
Sure. Good morning. Good early morning, I should say. But, yeah, happy to be here.
President-elect Biden has made his announcement for the Attorney General. It is Merrick Garland. We've talked a little bit about Merrick Garland in the past. But from your perspective, how you feel about Merrick Garland as the pick for Attorney General versus other possible candidates?
Yeah, look, we talked about that last week, and I think this is a reasonably good outcome for the Department of Justice as a whole. And I was not at all kind of handicapping where this would go. But I think I mentioned last week that Garland is the type of guy that appeals to at least my standards, which is somebody who's been invested in the criminal justice system as either a prosecutor or a judge or both. And he has been both. So I like the fact that he's kind of a career justice person coming in. Everything I can tell from the outside is that he has a moderate kind of philosophical view and a moderate disposition. And he's not somebody who appears to be looking for this job as a stepping stone. And you'll remember we talked about the parade of horribles of someone like Andrew Cuomo, being the attorney general, or even you know, folks like Doug Jones, who would have been kind of a political parachute. And my experience has been the attorney generals that come at it from a criminal justice background more than a political background have a better chance of leading that department in the right direction.
And the pick for Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco.
Yeah, I know Lisa. So full disclosure, I mean, we're not tight. We don't talk regularly, but I've certainly knew her from my days at the Department of Justice. And again, I think in the world of a Democratic administration, she is a pretty good draw. I think she's a good person, very intelligent, good-natured, not full of herself, and with a real background in law enforcement, and particularly the national security component of the Department of Justice. So, you know, I think we've got two good resumes, two optimistic situations in terms of the person that heads the department and the right-hand woman in this case, Lisa Monaco. I think they're as good as we could hope for from perhaps a conservative perspective.
And in terms of the Hunter Biden investigation and the probe that John Durham has had underway, where do you think that goes under a Merrick Garland versus what could have been a more political appointee?
Yeah, I mean, it gives me some optimism that there'll be transparency, but, you know, who knows? I mean, this is going to be a real thorny challenge. I still think there's a possibility that Hunter Biden's situation, you know, somehow gets buried into the other news of the world over the next few weeks. I mean, we talked again about that last week, about how there could be some sort of soft plea that comes out of Delaware that resolves his case. But if it's lingering, if it's going on deeper into January and into the rest of this year, then that's going to be a real integrity moment for Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco alike to really deal with that in the up and up and to let it run its course and to let the evidence drive the decision making and not the politics.
And what do you think he needs to do at the Department of Justice? I mean, we've seen the issues at the FBI. We saw the Mueller investigation. What would you want to see from Merrick Garland?
Well, you know, I think that Barr did a wonderful job under constant fire. As a career person, as a person with a love of big J and little J justice, the department and doing things right. And so I remain a fan of Barr, and I think that he was a very good influence. And he was met with something that I think still needs addressing, which is, you know, kind of self-important tantrums by prosecutors in the field, people quitting the department or quitting a case because they disagreed with their own supervisors. So I'd like to see Garland continue to do that, maybe from a different political perspective, but to kind of assert that we're in the business of getting things right, not serving a political master, and, you know, running out the people that have a different view when it comes to that. So I hope he'll be a firm and fair hand that doesn't fall for kind of the politicization of DOJ like we saw with the FBI leadership and with some of the DOJ behavior in the last 4 years.
So, Jim, Merrick Garland was a Supreme Court nominee from President Barack Obama. Could he make that move from AG to the Supreme Court if the president so desired?
Well, he could. You're not, you know, legally out of the running by being the attorney general. I don't think it's a good look for Garland. I think it puts him right back into that category of attorney generals that are essentially looking for the next job. So I don't take it that way. I think that he's the type of conservative personality when it comes to making changes, where he probably views this as a very important job and one that he doesn't want to abandon in the next year or two. It also could signal, you know, a telegraph from the Biden administration that Garland was as close to the center as they were going to get, and that when they have a vacancy at some point over this next 4 years, that they're going to tilt left and, you know, pick someone that's much more of an ideologue than someone like Garland, who is a career judge.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law. And we're going to chat with Jim again in about 15, 20 minutes or so and get his perspectives on what will happen next in the investigation into the violence at the Capitol on Wednesday. Jim, thank you very much.
Sure thing.
6:29 on the Saturday Morning Update. We'll check the headlines and then we'll be back with Jennifer Harper.
2020 was a year of remarkable challenges and of remarkable support from Virginia's skill game companies. Virginia Skill Games will generate nearly $140 million for Virginia's COVID-19 Relief Fund. Critical funds that will help save thousands of Virginia small businesses, countless Virginia jobs, and provide much-needed financial support for local communities. Virginia Skill Games. We're not just creating entertainment. We're helping people and saving jobs.
This ad was paid for by the Virginia Skill Alliance.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? Yeah, they're coming, but you can do a lot more than just wait.
See, you have the power to help slow the spread. Actually, you could be a real difference maker and protect your family and loved ones, too. Here's how. Watch your distance. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. And it's risky to be indoors with them, too, no matter how far apart you are. And, of course, avoid crowds. Also, wear a mask. CDC reports that masks protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them from particles that carry the virus. And wash your hands using soap and water for 20 seconds, and do it frequently. Watch your distance, wear a mask, and wash your hands. Simple, effective, and along with vaccines, they're how you can make a big difference.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In the headlines, federal officials have released additional details about crimes for which several people now face charges following Wednesday's riots at the Capitol. A senior Justice Department official said that law enforcement took Richard Barnett into custody in Little Rock, Arkansas. He was the one that was pictured sitting inside House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office with one leg resting on her desk. He was expected to make a court appearance in Arkansas, and he will be extradited to Washington, according to the Justice Department. Twitter announcing the permanent suspension of President Trump's account on Friday. It follows months of flagging his tweets with warnings and days after the company said he violated its policies. The platform locked Trump out of his account the first time this week. The social media company deemed a number of tweets connected to the protests at the Capitol as inflammatory. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has threatened to expand his nuclear arsenal and develop more sophisticated weapons systems. He says the fate of relations with the United States depends on whether it abandons its hostile policy. That report from South Korean state media on Saturday. Kim's comments made this week during a key meeting of the ruling party seen as applying pressure on the incoming administration of President-elect Biden, who has called Kim a thug and has criticized his summits with President Trump. 6:32, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic is moving well on the Capitol Beltway this morning. No delays throughout Maryland and Virginia to report. And so far in Virginia, things are clear on 95 from Dale City to Springfield and on 395 from Etzel Road heading to the 14th Street Bridge. In the district, do keep in mind that S Street is still closed in both directions between 1st Street and North Capitol Street, and that due to fire department activity. Also in the district, the GW Parkway is closed northbound between Washington Boulevard and the Memorial Bridge for long-term road work that affects the right lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Looking at mostly sunny skies this afternoon. However, those breezes are really going to kick up. We're talking about gusts 25 miles per hour, so that's going to keep the wind chill factors into the 30s despite all the sunshine. Tomorrow, nice day with a high temperature of 47. I'm ABC7 Chief Meteorologist Bill Kelly from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Well, in the wake of the events in Washington this week, the whole idea of looking for middle-of-the-road politicians, the whole idea of unifying the country, it's always talked about after an event like this week. And then maybe they discuss it for a couple of weeks, and then it's back to the usual. You've been following this, and there are actually some poll numbers on it.
Yeah, this is one of these phenomena that you like to keep your eye on. And indeed, I think a lot of Americans, voters, listeners, everyone are pretty weary right now. And if it's not what went on this week, it's COVID-19 or the endless election that went on, a dismal new year for a lot of folks. So they're getting a little weary, and in the political world, this can have a kind of an after effect, and that is that people get the idea that they don't want to be all the way to the right or all the way to the left, and they kind of want to be in the cozy middle, the moderate middle. And I started noticing this week that there was some coverage coming out about this, and here's a couple of quotes of some media coverage that was out there. A moderate Congress awaits President Joe Biden in the years ahead. That's predicted by Yahoo News. And then here comes Walter Shapiro. He's a staff writer over at the New Republic. He says, moderate Democrats rule Washington now. He's, of course, citing Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, John Tester of Montana, et cetera, et cetera. And he says that the moderate Democrats are going to decide the fate of the party's more ambitious legislative goals. So it kind of sounds like there's a real taste for moderate people, the sensible people. At least that's what the image is. Also, Mr. Shapiro over at the New Republic, he says, clout in a Democratic Senate will rest with deal-making senators in the center. So let's talk about that, Rick, because what about the guy at the top, Mr. Biden himself, President-elect Biden? How is he perceived by the public? Well, he's not perceived to be a middle-of-the-road kind of guy, and that's where the polling comes in. This is an Economist YouGov poll, and it's very, very recent, conducted January 3 through 5. So they asked people, what is President-elect Joe Biden's ideology? Well, 45% of Americans say he's a liberal. That, of course, includes three-quarters of Republicans and even 27% of Democrats. 32%, they say Mr. Biden is the moderate, the nice, cozy moderate. 12% of Republicans agree with that, along with 54% of Democrats. That's kind of predictable. 15% are not quite sure of what Mr. Biden is. That includes 7% of Republicans and 9% of Democrats. Last but not least, 7% of Americans say Mr. Biden is a conservative. 9% of Republicans and 9% of Democrats agree. The takeaway message here is that it's going to be interesting to watch the emerging power of the moderate Democrats when you have at one end Nancy Pelosi and at the other end AOC. So that's kind of the dynamics that are shaping up.
Well, at a time when we could really use unity in the country, many of the media outlets are doing everything they can to drive a further wedge between us all. And you've got some information from a media analyst that you found very interesting.
Yes, I did. I found it interesting, spot on, and also a little humorous, which is helpful at this time. And this is coming from Joe Concha. He's just a real smart guy, Fox News contributor. He's over at the Hill. Very smart guy. But anyway, if you're wondering about what you call it when the media is just really making you furious or you can't believe their antics, et cetera, because we've seen an awful lot of that this week. Well, this broadcast style, it's kind of a broadcast style all over the place. And this analyst, our friend Joe Concha, he is flagging CNN as a perfect example of this trend. I'm just going to read you what he said. The journalism industry has evolved into a look-at-me-too movement. Again, this is Joe Concha speaking. And he says, this is a pattern with CNN. We saw it with Jim Acosta during White House press conferences, or April Ryan, where they will get into a confrontation. Oftentimes, it was because that particular person in power or spokesman was so mean to them. That's when it becomes, at this point, for many in journalism, performance art, he says. It's the look at me too movement for many in journalism by dropping expletives or getting into confrontations by doing monologues instead of asking pointed questions that inform the public. So if you wondered about this behavior, he's calling it media performance art, and I think he's probably right.
With COVID-19's impact on our workforce and our workday, many people telecommuting, many people kind of cooped up in the house with sometimes kids and a spouse around 24/7. What does this mean in terms of people headed out of town to get a larger residence?
Well, this is a big phenomenon now, and it's interesting. I wrote about this the heartland is calling America. If you have felt like you just wanted to get away from everything, go be in the country, be in a rural setting, live in a small town, well, you are definitely not alone, Rick. I wrote about this week because I wrote about this particular subject this week because I figured a lot of people were feeling that way right now, and I was right. I managed to get a Drudge link on this particular story, so that's like, yay. But anyway, let's go on to the story.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Anyway, the nation's heartland appears to have a lot of appeal to many Americans right now, and this is coming from a new Gallup poll, and it reveals that half of Americans, 48%, now say that they would prefer to live in a rural area, in the countryside, or a small town rather than city or suburbs. And interestingly enough, Republicans want to do this more than anybody else in the entire nation. And this is according to a whole lot of demographics that they survey there. Two-thirds of Republicans, exactly 66%, said that living in the country or a small town was their dream lifestyle. And it's not so prevalent among our Democrats. Only a third of Democrats, 33%, say they would want to go live the country life, along with 47% of our independent friends. And according to Gallup analyst Lydia Saad, she said current attitudes are similar to those recorded in October 2001. And you know what that means. That was conducted right after 9/11. And she says this survey was conducted during a time of great national upheaval. The previous one was shortly after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, when the public was still on edge about the potential for more terrorism. And in that poll, exactly half of respondents also said they wanted to move to the countryside. So it kind of gives you a gauge about people's mindset right now. So if you're feeling kind of crummy or want to go to the country or live in a small town and, you know, have coffee and a piece of pie in some diner every morning, well, you're not alone. And again, that's 48% of all U.S. adults want to live in the country. And that's two-thirds of Republicans and half of all of our Democratic friends. So again, this is a Gallup poll of over 1,000 U.S. adults, and it was released just this week.
So if they were moving to the southern border, they would hear somewhat of an intriguing sound?
That's a great lead-in because, yes, this is another story I paid attention to this week. If you're following immigration or have any concerns about that, the Center for Immigration Studies, this is a nonprofit and an independent research organization, this is what they reported, that the intensity of immigrants who are, or migrants, whichever you choose, who are very anxious to get into the United States by one means or another, this is increasing because they're all anticipating what life under President Biden will be like. And they apparently they're thinking that it's going to be a lot easier for them to get over the border. Here is what they say at the Center for Immigration Studies. Migrants chanting Biden, Biden, Biden attempted to rush the border, and they ask, will mass incursion tactics test Biden's promises of a kinder, gentler immigration agenda? This is coming from Todd Bensman. He's the National Security Fellow for the center. And he cites a very recent event at the end of December in which 400 folks rushed the border. And he reports that this is when they were chanting Biden, Biden, Biden. A similar thing happened in Del Rio, Texas. So he asked, do attempted mass incursions like these foreshadow a new flashpoint and a tactic whereby untold tens of thousands of migrants inside Mexico can quickly test the new Biden administration on its many campaign promises of a kinder and gentler approach towards them? And yes, there already are reports that there are another mass movements of folks coming up from the South have begun. So that's definitely something to keep our eye on. How about that?
We may have some listeners this morning that are not familiar with the OSS acronym. Perhaps you should explain what that's all about and then tell us what they're up to.
Well, let's talk about, well, OSS stands for the Office of Strategic Services. That is the precursor of the CIA, played an incredibly vital and inventive role during World War II for the nation's security. All kinds of folks were part of that, a very clandestine operation, very inventive group. And there is locally the OSS Society. This is a nonprofit organization which celebrates and recognizes the very amazing work done by the OSS during World War II. And they're very historically minded, and they do a lot of public events even during these times. They have one coming up at the end of January, which I'd like to point out. And they're going to offer some insight into strategic matters such as this with an online event. And it's a conversation between two interesting people, former Secretary of Defense James Mattis and Michael Vickers. He is former Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. And the two of them are going to talk over concepts about leadership and strategy and that sort of thing. Again, this is on January 28th. It's at 6 p.m. And it's also going to include a precision preparation of a unique OSS-themed cocktail. Well, you don't want to miss that. That's by Philip Green. He's an author and a cocktail historian. I love the idea of that. And he's presented a lot of these historic libations at other OSS Society events, which are very, very just terrific. I've covered a couple of them for Washington Times. So anyway, if you would like to see it, this is a free event, but you got to register. So the way you do that is to go to osssociety.org, and you just look under latest news, and they will have the link there for you. Again, that's osssociety.org. Under latest news, and they also have just lots and lots of cool history photographs and so forth. And there will be an OSS museum in the future at some point, but something to do to take your mind off of this week. How about that?
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Rick. Have a good weekend, everyone.
6:47 on the Saturday Morning Update. We'll talk with Jim Trustee next. We'll get his analysis, the legal aspects of the impending impeachment articles expected to be filed by Democrats on Monday, and also a look at the prosecution of those who rioted at the Capitol. That's all next. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, on northbound 95, just north of the exit for Woodbridge, exit 161, there is a disabled vehicle. Looks like that is blocking the right lane, not causing a significant delay, but use caution through the area. In the district in northwest on S Street, that is closed in both directions between 1st Street and North Capitol Street due to fire department activity. And also in the district on South Capitol Street, southbound between the South Capitol Street Bridge and the Suitland Parkway, watch out for road work this weekend with single lane closures and periodic temporary 15-minute full closures. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Looking at mostly sunny skies this afternoon. However, those breezes are really going to kick up. We're talking about gusts 25 miles per hour, so that's going to keep the wind chill factors into the 30s despite all the sunshine. Tomorrow, nice day with a high temperature of 47. I'm ABC7 Chief Meteorologist Bill Kelly from the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
33 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:48.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday Morning Update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Jim Trustee rejoins us, a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington and the former chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. We talked to Jim earlier this morning about the appointment of Merrick Garland as Attorney General by President-elect Joe Biden. And, Jim, I wanted to talk to you about the investigation, obviously, into the events at the Capitol this week. And a variety of different charges have been floating around in the media, from insurrection for some of the people that invaded the Capitol to simple unlawful entry. I mean, there's a variety and a range of charges. And what would it take to get an insurrection or a sedition charge?
Well, it would take a lot. You know, we're dusting off stuff from, you know, circa War of 1812. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure that you're going to see those types of charges. I think it is likely you'll see unlawful entry, maybe burglary type charges, vandalism, you know, desecration of federal property type stuff, like we would talk about for the statues that were torn down. On the high end, I think you are looking at seditious conspiracy, only because that particular charge has language in it that's pretty applicable here. It's by using force to seize, take, or possess property of the United States against its authority. And that's a potential 20-year charge. So these are, you know, all going to be serious charges. they're all going to be placed in the context of, you know, the Capitol as opposed to some sort of street protest. And on the high end, I think you've got a 20-year potential with a seditious conspiracy.
Now, people that they are identifying are spread all over the country. Some have been arrested already. What happens in terms of the process? Are they extradited to Washington to face federal charges, or how does that work?
Yeah, they're all going to end up in D.C., and it's kind of by different ways. If they're charged, you know, close to the time of the offense while they're still in D.C., then they'll be processed by the law enforcement folks and then have an initial appearance with the judge where they talk about things like bail. If they're in other federal districts, then what happens typically in a case like this, as opposed to like a white-collar case where you might make very polite arrangements to show up, somebody will put handcuffs on them where they are and bring them to the closest federal district court, and they'll have the initial appearance there, and they'll have what's essentially an extradition process. Now, most defendants aren't foolish enough to fight that, because really what it does is it puts you in jail for a long time while the government comes up with paperwork that just establishes you're the person they meant to charge. It's a very low kind of standard, a very small issue. So most people, when they have a lawyer, the lawyer says, look, you don't want to fight extradition, hurry up and get to D.C. And then one way or another, whether they're incarcerated or told to self-report, they show up in D.C. within a couple of days and have a full-blown initial appearance, arraignment, detention hearing type stuff there.
All right. We sometimes see a judge wanting to make an example of someone. Would you see some of these people, especially the ones that are on video committing certain acts around the Capitol, would you see them as poster child for being examples?
Yeah, I think there's potential there. And, you know, as a defense attorney, I have to say, you get kind of worn out by the standard of talking about general deterrence and making examples out of people, because everyone's an individual and their conduct is individualized. And so I'm not much of a fan of that kind of mentality that, you know, this person's a Hollywood star, so let's make sure she goes to jail for the SAT cheating scheme, or this person, you know, wore buffalo horns on TV when he broke into the Capitol, so he needs to be a real example for the rest of the world. You know, I think what we have to look for ultimately is individualized justice based on facts and evidence, and that's what rule of law is really all about. And so, again, I don't like the thought, but if you're a defense attorney with a client in this situation, you've got to be keenly aware of the public pressure, the public perception, and the possibility that a judge, without, you know, a lot of explaining, is going to look at your client as a particularly bad risk and a bad defendant in need of a public punishment.
Tragically, five people are dead, including a U.S. Capitol policeman. We don't really know enough about the circumstances around those deaths to really get into it this morning, Jim. But as more details come out in the week ahead, I definitely want to talk to you about it next week, because just so sad to see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, any tragedy that could easily have been avoided is really particularly poignant and disastrous. And, you know, to see police officers fall from this type of behavior, to see, you know, a woman climbing through a window getting shot and killed, I mean, it's not to prejudge anybody in terms of whether the use of force was appropriate or not. It's just a tragedy, and it was an avoidable one. And I think we'll have plenty of time to kind of dissect this stuff and talk about it in the future, like you said.
And also the jurisdiction and how there was such a failure to protect the Capitol. But I don't know that there's enough detail out there that we know or is factual at this point to really analyze that this morning. But a lot of questions there, and I'm sure a lot of, more of those details will come out in the week ahead. One thing that is very important is the talk of impeachment, the Democrats threatening to file articles of impeachment on Monday if the president doesn't resign before that. What is the practicality from a legal standpoint there?
Well, they're entitled to do what they want. I mean, they can certainly do this. They've actually drafted some articles of impeachment already, and I've taken a look at them. They're very short, and I think they're very telling. I'll circle back to that in a second. But my own view, and we talked about this, Rick, you know, months ago or a long time ago now, is that the previous impeachment process really cheapened the currency of impeachment. It was a very misguided effort. It was not based on the clear commission of a crime, but on the clear dislike of President Trump. And so, you know, I think they set something in motion that we knew was going to be bad, which was that cheapening, that use of impeachment as if it's somehow a vote of no confidence in Europe as opposed to the weighty constitutional process it's supposed to be now. So now there's two things going on that I think are particularly uninspired. One is they're even referring to this as a snap impeachment. And to me, that's just nonsensical. There should never be such thing as an impeachment that's based on snap decisions. The whole constitutional concept was based on the idea that the Senate in particular, but all of our congressmen and women, would be loath to use this tool, that they would take their sweet time and assess it and decide if there's evidence. This is not that, to be sure. Now, going back to what's in those current articles, it's really interesting. There's very specific quotes about the president falsely, in quotes, claiming that he won the election. They have all this kind of specific language about he said this and said that about being robbed. Then there's no quotes about what the president said that supposedly contributed to rioting or damage at the Capitol or death or destruction. It doesn't squarely allege a crime even now. And that's, again, that's exactly the problem with snap judgments and political motivation, is you're not really basing things on evidence. They actually even threw in the phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State as a basis for impeachment. And then the bottom line is the bottom line. At the end of it, they're not saying get him out of office January 11th. They're saying disqualify him from office forever. And that's kind of the cute hook. Never been done in terms of a presidential impeachment. So there's no basis for this, although it's not necessarily impossible. But that's the end game here, is trying to keep him from even being allowed to run in 2024.
Well, what's not written in the draft is the Democrats' desire to put Republicans on record that would either have to vote for or against it in the Senate, and an attempt to, I believe, set up the next senatorial elections. But that's just my personal opinion. And we're also hearing talk of invoking the 25th Amendment. Your thoughts there from a legal standpoint?
Yeah, the 25th Amendment remains an even more ludicrous cousin to a bad impeachment process. I mean, it really is ridiculous. The concept of the 25th Amendment is in play when the president is incapacitated. That's really the key concept here. And it literally means the president's in a coma or on a doctor's table going through surgery, deathly ill, injured. I mean, the point is you have a president who is not in a position to make decisions for the country. It's not, again, about we don't like him or we think he's mean or he's making bad comments. So I think it was, again, put out there by really irresponsible politicians. It's not responsible for them to play that card like it's a real option here. They knew it wouldn't go anywhere with Pence, but not because of Pence being doggedly loyal, but because Pence has read the Constitution and has an idea how succession works.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. You can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you very much as always.
All right. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
And you too. 6:58 Saturday morning update. John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkison, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland are on the way.
Hi, I'm Abe Abish, the founder of Abish Financial Services. The economic headlines can feel overwhelming. If you have questions, I'm here to encourage you to take a deep breath and then get to work on a strategy for moving forward. You've worked hard, saving and investing all of these years, and you deserve to be able to retire with confidence. If you have questions, join me Saturday afternoon at 2 here on WMAL for Retirement Key Radio, and connect to us anytime at retirementkeyradio.com.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme. And we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
2020 was a year of remarkable challenges and of remarkable support from Virginia's skill game companies. Virginia Skill Games will generate nearly $140 million for Virginia's COVID-19 relief fund. Critical funds that will help save thousands of Virginia small businesses, countless Virginia jobs, and provide much-needed financial support for local communities. Virginia Skill Games. We're not just creating entertainment. We're helping people and saving jobs.
This ad was paid for by the Virginia Skill Alliance.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.